Amen. I appreciate the Lord allowing us to come in. We are headed on down the road a little ways and be preaching the service tomorrow there at Calvary Baptist Church. You pray for us. Our heart's desire is always this, even here today, is just to be a help and a blessing to the church. And so that's my desire today, to try to maybe be a help and a blessing to you. I'm going to take this note right here. I want to deal with something. I was thinking, and most of you would probably know J. Harold Smith, if I mentioned that name. He came to the church where we was at back in 1989, 90, 91, I believe it was maybe 92, and heard him preach those three years that he was there, had him in our home every year. He made this statement. I heard him say it on the radio as well, but I heard him say it in the church. He'd say it something like this. He'd say, "Brother Pastor," he said, "I believe with all my heart that 80% of the average Baptist church is lost." Yeah. That was back in the early 90s. Yeah. Yeah. But he made that statement several times in the meetings that we had during those years that I was a part of there. Heard him say it on the radio as well. Matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, he had one of the longest, maybe the longest running radio ministry in the United States, I think 80 years or so. I'd have to look that up. But it's amazing. But we are living in a different era than what we were 36 years ago when I got saved. And it seems that religion is up here, but those that have the real deal, that have been born again, it just seemed like it's few and far between. And I know we're living in the last of the last days, and we should expect that, but God is still at work. God is still working in the hearts of people. But if he don't turn the light on, they won't get saved no way. And so God has to do that, just like he did for you and I. He'll have to turn the light on in their life as well. We preach to men as they are, without fear or favor, just asking God to do a great work. Whether I think they're saved or not is irrelevant. It's God that has to do the work. Yeah. I'm amazed though at if you was to ask the average member of the Baptist church, tell me about when you got born again. Yeah. They couldn't tell you. Right. Here's what they would say. Well, I joined the church.
Yeah.
I was baptized when I was young.
Yeah.
I just decided to turn over a new leaf. All that may sound good, but it's not salvation.
That's right.
Was there a time in your life that God showed up and turned the light on?
Amen.
And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Here's what I think about that verse. When he talks about quickening, I think about God made him alive to the fact that he was lost. Has to. If God don't turn the light on, you are dead in trespasses and sin. Then we'd hear this as well. Well, so and so led me in a prayer. Now, my sister, it's all I knew. I led her in a prayer back in 1990, I guess. She's a drunk today, sad to say, on dope. But if you was to ask her, "Are you saved?" I've asked her, "Are you saved?" Here's what she'll say. She said, "Will you save me?" I said, "Yeah, that's the problem. You just prayed a prayer. I can't save nobody. Salvation's not in a prayer. It's in a person. It's the Lord Jesus Christ." So in Romans chapter 5, turn there with me if you will. I won't be long. I won't say nothing that you haven't already heard. But let's look at the fall of man. Can I say this? Man was at the top and fell to the bottom. And that fall was fatal. Just as Mephibosheth, when his nurse fled with him, his fall was caused by another. And our fall was too. Do you realize today that but for the grace of God coming to where we were at back in that day, whatever it was, and opening your eyes and dealing with your heart about being saved, you're lost and dead in sins. There's nothing that you can do to merit favor with God. I'm going to join the church. Wonderful. But that won't save you. Oh, I'm going to be baptized. Wonderful. But that's not going to save you. I'm going to start doing better. Wonderful. But that will not save you. Amen. And men go through their entire lives thinking that they are okay because that they have prayed this prayer, but there's never been a change in their life. Here's what one preacher said. If I said his name, you would know him. He said this. He said, now we know that all things don't change. Well, that's a lie. Because Corinthians says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new and all things are of God. So the fall was fatal. Listen, when my wife and I were here back in the early 90s, her and Miss Shepherd got saved the same day, Brother Hall's birthday, October 3rd, 1996. That's right. She's thinking, ding, 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 ding. That's right. I know it. That's right. Here's what she said to me during that meeting, during those days, Brother Shepherd. She says, I don't know if I'm saved or not. Back on the day I got saved, a woman had led her in a prayer. She went through the Romans road. She agreed with every fact that was mentioned in the Bible. And they said, then you're saved. And so she believed that and thought she was all right. But when we came here, after a while hearing the preaching of the Word of God, she got troubled. You ever been there? Got troubled? I mean troubled beyond despair and troubled within and without and want to get it settled. So here's what she said. She said, I don't know if I'm saved. So here's what I told her. I said, I cannot help you. I'll pray with you. I'll pray for you. But that is an act that only you and God and the Holy Ghost can settle. Got it settled right over there.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. So let's look at what Paul's saying about the fall of man. Romans chapter number 5, it said this in verse 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned unto Adam, from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all to condemnation. Even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Now that's amazing. So the fall crippled us. We're dead in trespasses and sins. If you go back to Genesis chapter 3, you'll read the account there. Adam, Eve, they walked in the garden with the Lord. And the Bible said God came to them in the cool of the day and God would fellowship with them. They only had one, we'll call that a commandment, one commandment. You cannot eat of the tree in the midst of the garden. For in the day that you do, ye shall surely die. Just one, not ten, not a hundred, not the law, but just one commandment. Do not eat of that tree. That's pretty simple, isn't it? But one thing about it, God gave to every man a free will. Adam exercised the free will. Here's the thing, Brother Jimmy, I don't know if you'd see it this way. Here's the way I've always seen it. In my mind, Eve has taken of the forbidden fruit, whatever that was. She disobeyed. She was deceived. Adam, what he done with his eyes wide open. The Bible said she was in the transgression, but he was not deceived. He knew what he was doing. The first Adam. Here's how I've thought about this, Brother Shepherd. In order for him to be with his bride, he's separated from her as of now. She is disobeyed. He hadn't. He is going to step over with her into death by taking of that fruit. Now he's dead in trespasses and sin. He loved the bride that much. But what he didn't realize is when he disobeyed God and died, not physically yet, but he will, but spiritually dead, he could not get back to where he was with fellowship with God. You understand? Men are dead in trespasses and in sins. Cannot get to God. God came to him and said, those fig leaves are never going to work. What you need is to be clothed in the righteousness of God. Amen. God slew an animal. Yep. Covered them in his righteousness. Right. Showing us, and he told them what would take place about the seed of the serpent and so on. What would take place way down the line. By the way, Calvary was not an afterthought with God. Amen. It was always in the mind of God that Calvary would take place. So what the first Adam could not do, the second Adam did. When Adam performed, he performed by himself. When Jesus performed, he performed as us and for us. Amen. So what Adam could not do, the second Adam did. The Bible said that Jesus tasted death for every man. So when Adam died spiritually, he's done. He cannot get back to God. There must be a go-between that can reconcile him to God the Father. And that is the Son. So when Jesus came, the Bible said he laid down his life willingly. He tasted death for every man. He died and paid the penalty and the payment for our sin. For the wages of sin is death. Death had passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So Jesus died and paid the penalty. But he loved you and I so much, he got up out of the grave on the third day. He's alive forevermore and has the keys of death and hell. And he alone is able to reconcile you and I to a holy God. Amen. Amen. So the fall was fatal. One man's disobedience caused it for all mankind. The penalty was death. For the wages of sin is death. And Jesus paid that penalty. Because of that sin, we are depraved. We're sinners by nature and by choice. There's nothing I can do to make myself right with God. There's no amount of offerings I can send up, no amount of incense. There's nothing I can do in myself that will reconcile me to a holy God. You included. Because we're all out of the loins of Adam. The Bible said there is one mediator between God and men. the man, Christ Jesus. Can I tell you about when I got saved? Now this crowd knows. They've heard it. I was here several years, so they know. But I walked into the Glendale Baptist Church July the 16th, 1989. That's 36 years ago last month. That's a long time. Well, I had long hair. Now I got gray hair and no hair. But I had long hair, some earrings. I was on drugs and drinking. It was horrible. But that's the lifestyle we live. Now, I'm ashamed of that.
Sure.
Of all that I was involved in. But we did what a sinner would do.
Right.
And we did it well. Walked into the house of God that morning. God had been working in my life and in my heart and turned the light on some time ago. We've been married for about 3 years, I think it was. Got married in March 20th, 1986. Somewhere around October of 88, I said, I'm done. I won't be back. I found somebody else, signed the divorce papers. We're through. That's what I told her. Now what's really strange about that is, you would think, the natural man thinks, if I could just do what I want to do, I'd be happy. So I did exactly that. Oh, I left. I lived the way I wanted to live. I spent my money the way I wanted to spend it and what I wanted to spend it on.
Yeah.
I went where I went when I wanted to, staying as long as I wanted to and did exactly what I wanted to do. But I am more miserable now than I was.
Right.
But I'm doing everything I want to do. But it will not bring peace.
That's right.
And it would not bring joy.
That's right.
And after that crazy time in my life, went back home the first week of December 1988. We decided we was going to try to make things work. We didn't know about the church. We weren't raised in church. My grandparents didn't raise me in church. Her parents didn't raise her in church. So we didn't really know nothing about the church. And that was not a thought in our mind. We need to start going to church. So the best thing we thought of is we'll go to marriage counselor. Well, we definitely need somebody to counsel us. We're in trouble. I've messed things up completely. We're just wicked, ungodly. And so we went. January, February, March. And I told my wife during those days, Brother Stevie, I said, oh, this helps. It is helping. But something is still missing. I don't know what it is. And I don't know where to get it.
Yeah.
But it helped. So during those days, he said, I've taken you as far as I think I can go with you. But yet there's still a void on the inside that I want so desperately to be filled. Wine, women and song, drug and all that didn't fill it up.
Right.
But left me more miserable.
Right.
So we took a trip down to Naples, Florida. This is March of 89. We're expecting our first child. She's pregnant. Baby would be due in September. We drive 16 hours there. We get there. We're together. Things ain't like I would like for them to be, but we're still together. I get down there and I remember I still had drugs in my pocket. I remember drinking with her uncle, great uncle. And her grandmother said this. They lived in a trailer park. Trailers everywhere, like a retirement village. In the midst of that trailer park is a church. And she said, our pastor and his wife, they're leaving. And we're going to have a fellowship and everybody in the community here is going to that church. And we're going to tell him and his wife goodbye. And she said, and I want y'all to come. I said, I ain't going. I'm not going. Y'all can go, but James ain't going. I don't know how she won that battle, but James went. And so as we sat there and was having a meal, I don't remember much. But I had been thinking in my mind during those days, I said, I'll go to church. God had started working in my heart. They would stand up, Brother Ricky, and they were testifying. I didn't know what that was all about. I didn't know what they said.
Right.
Boy, but something on the inside got broke. And I could have got saved that day. I didn't cry. I didn't let no tears out, but I've told this 100 times over and over again, I swallowed so many tears that afternoon. Oh, I just wanted peace. I just wanted satisfaction. I wanted something that I did not have and I did not know how to get it, but what they were telling about, they had something that was real. And in my heart, oh, I wept and I wept and I wept.
Amen.
We drove back home, 16 hours back home. I didn't tell her what was going on. I'd lay down at night. I didn't know why I was a sinner, condemned, unclean. Oh, I knew I was bad. But I'd lay down and somebody met me there. Somebody I'd never met before. And started speaking to my heart. I knew who it was. Yeah. I'm saying to my heart, it's the Lord that's speaking to my heart. And he revealed himself unto me and said he loved me, died for me. And all kind, and I said, no, no, I'm not going to do it. I will not. I said, I won't. I didn't tell her. I'd go the next night and I'd lay down. He'd show up again. James, I love you. I died for you. I said, no, I will not. No, I won't. I can't. No. That's what I'd say.
Yeah.
I still didn't tell her what was going on. That went on for several nights. Boy, was I miserable. But I'm not telling her what's going on. I don't even know what's going on. Then she tells me out of the blue, she said, hey, honey, I'm going to start going to church. Whether you go or not, she said, I'm going.
Amen.
And I'm going to bring our baby up in a Christian home. Whether you go or not, I'm going.
Amen.
She said, you know, I've never been saved, and if I died today, I'd go to hell. That's what she told me.
Uh-huh.
Boy, that really messed me up. I didn't tell her what was going on, didn't say anything about it. I had a cousin and his wife that had been in church for several years. And she said, hey, why don't you call Danny and see what time church starts tomorrow? So I said, all right, I'll call. I got on the phone, I called, and they said 11 o'clock. I knew where the church was. I said, we'll be there tomorrow. See, we got dressed up for church. Most people dressed down. We got dressed up.
Yeah.
I'd never been to church in my life since we got married, but we got dressed up.
Yeah.
But all the amount of dressing up was just the badge of my poverty.
There you go.
I sat in the third row on this side. Church was packed. I didn't know if they knew I was there, but looking back now, everybody knew we were there. The preacher turned to Daniel chapter 2 and preached on there's a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. And he started preaching and I started weeping.
Yeah.
My heart was broke on the inside, Brother Shelby.
Amen.
I wanted something I did not have and I did not know how to get it.
Yeah.
As he began to preach and talk about the secrets of God being revealed, God spoke again.
Amen.
And said, son, you're a sinner. That light got turned on bright.
Yeah.
That was an LED bulb that went on. And I agreed with him the first time I said, yes.
Amen.
Lord, you are right.
Amen.
I am a sinner.
Yep.
The first time I understood it, first time I acknowledged it, I agreed with God who I was. I'm having a conversation in my mind with the Lord.
Right.
He's preaching, I'm weeping, she's elbowing me, please quit crying. I said, I can't. The whole service. He preached a little while longer and God spoke again. Now I know I'm a sinner and I've agreed to that fact. I am a sinner. Condemned, unclean.
Yep.
The Lord spoke again. I said, I'm the Savior.
Amen.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Thank God.
Oh, wow. And that day, I didn't know what an invitation was, didn't know what the altar was for. I couldn't have told you about justification, redemption, being born again. I couldn't tell you none of that. But here's what I said in my heart. We were about to leave. I didn't go down there an invitation. I didn't know what invitation was. But I said this to the Lord. I said, Lord, it's amazing how I knew who it was. Lord, I'm turning from my sin. I'm turning to you today. Here I am.
Amen.
Did you mean it? Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Well, I meant it. Matter of fact, we walked outside, Brother Shepherd. We're going to the car, July the 16th, 1989. And Brother Jimmy, I don't know how to explain to her what's going on in my heart. But I told her, I said, you know, the burden that I carried around, I said, it's gone. And I don't know where it's at. I don't know where it went, but I don't have it. Boy, I was ignorant. As we're going to the car, I cannot comprehend what has taken place. If somebody would have said, did you get born again? I'd had to say, well, I don't know. What is that? But here's what I told her. You tell me if it sounds like salvation. I'm going to the car. I said, honey, I said, the sky looks so blue today. It looks bluer than I have ever seen it. Now, I'm so dumb. I said, honey, look at the leaves on the trees. I said, man, they are so green. I've never seen them look this green before. And that may sound silly to you, but I mean, I'm trying to explain something major took place in my life. A transformation took place. I had passed from death unto life, and I don't know really how to tell it. But the Bible told it for me. I quoted it to you a while ago. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and given us a ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, Jesus reconciling the world to himself.
Amen.
Said, did that fix what was wrong with you? Yeah. Sure did. Sure did.
Amen.
So it broke my cusser. It'll break yours too if you get saved. No desire for strong drink. No desire for drugs or none of that. It was gone. Salvation will work a great miracle in your life. Now you may not be on all that, but you still need salvation.
That's right.
It wasn't long. I told my wife, I said, honey, I said, I've got the longest hair of any man in the church. I said, will you please cut my hair Wednesday night? She said, no, we ain't got time. I can't do that. We'll go see your cousin. She can fix it, cut it, trim, whatever you need. But I ain't doing that tonight. We got to go to church. I said, yeah, I know. I'll be right back. And so without her knowledge or looking, I went and grabbed the scissors. Went to the bathroom. I did a number. But you know what? I felt good.
Amen.
Now, it didn't look good. She didn't offer to try to help me. But I'm trying to express on the outside what's going on the inside.
That's right.
And that night, I must have looked so good, the preacher said, Brother James, will you come and help us take up the offering? Well, you must have not seen the back of my head, but they'll all see it when I stand up here. And so I took up the offering. That's been 36 years ago.
Amen.
Boy, it's amazing what salvation will do for a man.
Amen.
Oh, I ain't been perfect, and you ain't either. But saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
I pass from death unto life. Now, y'all got me all messed up. I messed my message up. The fall of man was fatal. Man's corrupt. He tried to cover himself. He tried to hide himself from the presence of God. But God sent a cure.
Amen.
There is a cure for the curse.
Yes.
Amen. Today, this afternoon, are you tired of your religion? I mean, just be honest. It's just us chickens in the house. Just be honest. Are you born again?
Right.
Have you ever been saved, and that salvation changed your life? If what you've got hasn't changed you, I don't know what to tell you. But a saved man passes from death unto life. You don't have to conform or perform. You just let Him work in.
Amen.
And God can fix only what needs to be fixed in you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Today, I'll close with this. Jesus is knocking.
Amen.
At your heart's door. You'll have to exercise your will to let Him in. He knocks. But He's not going to make you get saved.
No.
But if you'll humble yourself as a little child.
Yeah.
The Bible says repentance toward God, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yep.
That'll work every time.
That's right.
I sang a song here years and years ago. Right here. Brother Hall had me come up. And I was... Somebody's knocking at your door. Somebody's knocking at your door. Oh, sinner, why don't you answer? Somebody's knocking at your door. God knocks.
Yep.
God's not obligated to knock a second time.
That's right.
Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. Turn to Him before it's eternally too late. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Shepherd. I appreciate it. Thank you.